This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We about to.
The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and show, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
Marcus Dash here. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, this is the best time of the year. Our Chiefs may not be playing right now, but you got NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, even though my Sixers are unfortunately out. But still, a lot of stuff to be bet on. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds, lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember, BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn. JD, how we doing, brother?
What's going on? What's happening, man? How you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, every day is another day closer to our guys. It's seeing our guys actually get out there and actually compete for that 53 man. So, yeah, I'm loving it. Every time we get to another Wednesday show, I know we're one Wednesday closer to that Thursday night kickoff, JD. Can you hear me? JD?
Check. Okay. Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay.
Some type of technical difficulty. I'm like, what happened to Marcus? This is the time right here, OTAs, the guys are getting out there, moving around a little bit. I love to see it. I do. I love to see the guys out there on the field. It's just in the air, you know, and as a coach, this right here is so familiar to me. So when you smell the grass, you know, and you see guys putting the work in just to get better during the off season, it just kind of makes you happy. It lets you know that these guys are professionals. They are ready. They can't wait to get after it, you know, for the season. But this right here is the first introduction, man. It's kind of gets your juices flowing because you know that the season is just right around the corner. This kind of gives you like that little bit of that familiarity, if you will. So, yeah, man, this is going to be a good time. It's been a great time, man. But I'm doing fine. I'm doing all right, man. It was a beautiful day here in Kentucky. I was telling you right before I got on the show, I was out in the yard working, you know, with my wife, you know, putting some rocks and stuff in. So we were hard at it. We were hard at it, man. But
yeah, I'll say, for us in Virginia, we haven't had like a full day of sunshine in I don't know how long. It's raining like almost every day here. I feel like I'm in Miami in the tropics, JD.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, rains all the time. I think we're gonna get a few days of just sun. So I'm glad at least one of us is getting to enjoy a nice day.
Yeah. Now I hear you. Hey, look, man, it's coming. It's coming. It was a glorious day today. It was like 76, perfect weather. Like I'm absolutely perfect. Damn. So I don't know how many more days we'll have like that, but today I had to enjoy it, man. I just went out and I sat down, had some breakfast, just took it all in, the sun, you know, just relaxing. I'm just like, man, thank God of a beautiful day today it is. So
there you go.
saying what's up to everybody who's in the chat. What's going on? About time. Rob Miller, Kathy Welch, Wendy, I'm the Brown, Michael Donegan. Let me see who else. Charles Driver, Gary Holland, Mr. Brownstone. Welcome you all. Festive Gresh, Lacey Snake. So a few folks in here. Andre Chenault. Welcome you all to a nice new episode of Chief Concerns. And we're going to get out here, talk about a few things. Can't wait to engage with you. Some questions. What do y'all want to talk about? We had a great topic talking about like who we thought were the top five running backs last time on Monday. And, you know, I had some people come to me like, man, it's who you thought was the top five. I said, yeah. But I was like, man, in this era, if you had to think about it, you start looking over some of the things they were able to do over the course of their career. Some absolutely some ballers right there, some absolute ballers. I'm looking to see what we're going to have as far as in our running back room for us. And so that's one of those things, one of those beauties we had to look at for training camp, Marcus. We said, man, June the 1st, some things might be happening. Some things might be moving. So
we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what other teams do as far as cutting guys who, you know, who could be, you know, dudes that we could add to our squad. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. June 1st will be an interesting one, regardless of who gets cut, regardless if you pick up somebody, regardless if someone is dropped elsewhere. But it's always an interesting time because it's in the last, like, obviously you have a training camp cut down days, but this is the last time you'll see before that, before we'll see what other, like, you know, good possible guys who could, possible vets who could come in and make an impact on a squad is the June 1st deadline. So I'm curious to see what happens across the league on that respect.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I did want to comment. So Kathy says that she can't hear, or she was having audio issues. I don't know if that's her end. Can everybody hear us on the chat? Just want to make sure everyone can hear us and can join in on the conversation. Yeah, so like JD said, we have a lot of stuff to get into tonight. Yeah, a lot of good topics out there and some stuff. We got some sound bites from our guys that we are going to talk about tonight. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting show. There's one specific topic that I'm really curious to hear JD, because we always get JD's tight end insights. I'm curious to hear your special teams coach insights on one of the certain topics tonight.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. Yeah. Love to.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone's good. Everyone can hear us. All right. So we're going to go to our first topic tonight, JD.
All right.
And then we're going to talk about our guy, Hollywood Brown, who you made mention on Monday as he's the reason why we probably won't sign another receiver, or at least see what he does this year before we make a big splash at wide receiver. And we've seen Pat and him on the NBA hardwood go to games together. And also the rapport they're already developing on the field from all their workouts in Texas this past year. A lot of good stuff going on with those two. And Coach Reed and Patrick Mahomes already noticing their kind of chemistry they're developing on the field. And he could possibly be the wide receiver one that everybody wants us to trade for. We don't need to trade for because we have him in-house now. But here's Andy Reed and Pat Mahomes on Hollywood Brown so far.
He's another one, a smart kid. And he just kind of gets it. Pat and he, there's so much talking going on, which I look at, and I think that's important. As long as the receivers are willing to listen and then share what they saw and it's accurate, you normally can develop a pretty good relationship relatively quick as you go.
I've seen it the entire offseason from working in Texas till here, and I remember the first day I told guys like Drew, and I was like, hey, like he's gonna try. He tracks him down the field well, and he can really go. And I think y'all saw it today. I mean, I'm giving him chances downfield. He's making the plays happen, and the more plays he makes, the more we'll continue to give him those chances. It's a good addition to our offense.
Just amazing to hear both those guys talk about a guy that, you know, he didn't have a lot of buzz on him this offseason in Hollywood Brown, but we were fans of him and his fit in Kansas City. We were Brett Veach was fans of him coming out of college, and now we finally have him here. JD, when you're hearing guys who have never played with each other before are clicking right off the bat like they are, they obviously have a rapport that's beyond football. They're going to Mavericks games together. They're developing a relationship that you'd want to see your wide receiver one and your QB one have. And I love the fact that it's just automatically like they've bonded, and it's only been a few months. We haven't even begun the real football yet. But what do you make of all this? And does this really kind of reaffirm what you said about not needing to go find that wide receiver one, that we have the guy in-house potentially?
I do. I think this is like one of those courting type of deals. It's almost like you set yourself up for a blind date. You know, you kind of you've heard about this person, and you've heard they're a great person, and they got some very good personalities about them. They're a solid person, a great character, pretty, beautiful. And you just want to know about their personality. So then when you get them, it's like, oh wow, like this is like a match made in heaven. Like, I might not have to go on court or anything else. Like, I'm starting to really dig this, this person, if you will. So boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever it may be, that you're dating. And you're like, I really like this. This seems like a match made in heaven. Now, to me, this is what it sounds like. And so Andy Reid is the father. Patrick, if he's trying to date, whoever, I'm just using scenario. But I think this is what it is. This could be a match made in heaven. That's the way I look at it. And so instead of putting the money into somebody, right, to come in here, you got Hollywood Brown, who's doing everything to learn the offense, to get familiar with Andy, with Pat. They're ingratiating him into the whole system. To me, he's the guy. He's our number one guy. And I think once you have him, you got Xavier Worthy, who's relatively like your number two until Rashid Rice goes to what he needs to go through. You got three legitimate guys who could come on the field, take the top off the defense, kill the defense, whatever you want to do. So you really have on this offense is Hollywood Brown, Rashid Rice, Xavier Worthy. He's all number one guys. You need three legit dudes. Any team you look at right now who's been affected over the years on offense, we have three legit guys as wide receivers, right? Buffalo has some guys, come in. We used to see, obviously, back in the day when New Orleans used to have it. Jaguars had it last year. So you look at teams that had three receivers that if somebody got hurt, another guy could come in and you wouldn't dip in as far as talent and whatnot. And not to mention, we got the best tight end in football. So I think to when you're doing things like this, it is built on the rapport for success. This is what success is built on, right? It's all about relationships. So this is perfect to me, man. This is the way I feel about this. So
when you hear, so obviously it's their first time playing with each other this year, the last few months, and they've had we were excited about them working out in Texas like the day after he was signed. And yeah. I think that set everything up. But when you hear Andy talk about the communication that they already have on the field together, that Hollywood can go back to Pat and voice what he's seeing out there, and there's kind of that communication. Is that rare and surprising for a guy to already have that kind of that rapport with the quarterback? A month in? Is that rare?
Is it rare? No. The only reason it's rare, at least during my day, is because guys would work out, but you wouldn't really see guys go work out with the quarterback as much as it was as this day and age. These guys are a little bit more tighter. Social media brings guys together. You don't have to get somebody's personal, phone or whatever to call them. Like, hey, man, let me DM you. Hey, let's talk about you're going to be down in Texas. Yeah, I'm going to be down in Texas. Where you at? Dallas. Shoot, let's make a quick little trip. So I think it's a little bit more convenient for guys this day and age. For guys to work out together. Pat specifically is doing a great job of bringing these guys in and saying, hey, look, let's go in and start working out together so we can get, build a relationship, so we can get the time and the stuff down. But I want you to be able to get the scheme as quick as possible so you can be effective, so we all be effective. So I put a lot of this on Pat, trying to, really orchestrating all of this, to be honest with you. So that's the genius of it, is Patrick Mahomes. So when you have somebody who's conducting everything, putting an entire show together, this to me is a formula for success. We've seen it, two Super Bowls, and we're looking for a third. And so when you do things like this to me, man, this is going to be hard to beat. It's going to be hard to beat, especially when you get these guys on each other's on the same page. You can look at maybe last year, where we did see a little bit of guys going to work out with Pat. Was more like Rashid Rice. Okay. Guys are coming to show up every once in a while, but we're seeing a little bit more consistency with Hollywood Brown doing it with Pat. Right. And so same thing, Hollywood Brown working out with Rashid Rice. So it's important to them. I think not only is this something that Pat and Andy wants, I think it's something Hollywood Brown wants too. You know, why go to a third team when you don't need to? Show everybody what you can do. This is a prove it year. Fine. I'm going to prove it to everybody that I deserve to be here. Hollywood Brown becoming a Chiefs player, you know, for the history is something that we can start talking about now. Okay. And so I think he's comfortable being with Pat and Andy, and he's found a home. That's the way I look at it, man. And hopefully this is how he feels about the whole situation.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Moment. So I hope this is something, man, Marcus, that we're building on to for the rest of this history. I want him to be here for the rest of his time too, right? So
Me too. And I think the one thing is, it's like you and I talk about the reset aspect of it. I know it's a one-year deal. Yeah, I think it's more of a prove it for both sides. Like, hey, let me prove myself so I can get a bigger contract. Maybe not to the likes of what Tyreek Hill wanted, but a better than 1 year, up to $11 million contract is what he's getting this year. But I think it's beneficial for both parties, where we can see how he does in our offense, because he totally fits our offense.
Yeah.
But then we don't have to, in the following years, by re-signing him, we don't have to bring in another guy, have to reteach the office to another guy. If he's successful in this offense and he proved it this coming year, that's like, okay, sign him for the long haul. But my question to you is, JD, because obviously only a few years ago he was drafted to be the number one guy in Baltimore, and he's the only receiver that Lamar Jackson's had who had 1,000 yards receiving. Tight end Mark Andrews did have that, but as far as receiver-wise, he was the only one to do that. And then he goes to Arizona. He was supposed to be the number one guy with Kyler Murray. Injuries happened for both guys, Murray and him. But why is it that a lot of Chief fans like don't really see him as a number one receiver?
Don't see
Hollywood Brown as a number one guy. The kind of, if you look at the discourses when you talk about Hollywood Brown with many people, I see him as number one, but many people just don't see him as a number one guy. And it's like, this fan base, it's weird that our fan base, who had a guy like Tyreek Hill, who made him become a number one receiver, is all of a sudden like weary of a guy like that being a number one. And it's just weird, because he just a few years ago, I mean, he's been a number one at every stop he's been at. All of a sudden, he comes here, and Chief fans are saying, "Well, we still need a number one guy." I don't see that.
You know what? It could be his time in Baltimore might have rubbed some people the wrong way, and so sometimes people are looking into it and saying, "Well, look, was this guy dedicated to saying he was the number one guy?" And if he was the number one guy, is he going to abandon us and say, "Well, look, I don't like the offense. I'm not getting the ball like I expect." You know, now you're going to now another place where you have a number one tight end who's catching the football, who may be, have more passes and whatnot, and may be looked at more than you. But if people are saying that, I haven't really seen it. I'm sure it is some discourse and people may not like the move. But to me, I don't see anything but positivity, to be honest with you. How can you not be optimistic of having somebody like this come up, you know, on your team? And maybe it's time in Arizona, right? Some people could be, "Oh, well, Arizona, he didn't really do that well. He got hurt, and, you know, he didn't really show out like a number one wide receiver." So, you know, people's going to have opinions about particular things, man. To me, let's celebrate the guys that we have. Hollywood Brown is a baller. We've known that. He was a baller when he was with the Ravens. So if he continues to do what he did then, man, how you can't be happy with a guy like that? He looks like he's a lot stronger too. His body looks like it's matured. He's legit guy. So if somebody is saying these things about Hollywood Brown, is he's not a legit wide receiver?
Well, it's not so much. It's not so much that they're not saying he's a lit. What I've seen is that we need another guy because what we have isn't enough, and it's like, well,
oh yeah.
I mean, you and I talked about from the veteran point of view, not that we don't have the high end talent because you and I both see Hollywood Brown as high end talent, but it's people are saying it's a, not DK Metcalf, so to speak, but a guy like DK Metcalf, where we need to bring in a guy like that. It's like we have the number one, the premier talent, you know. So it's like we don't need another premier talent guy at receiver. We need maybe another veteran to, you know, to kind of, you know, like a Robert Woods type of guy who, yeah, you know, who's been seasoned, who's been around the block. We don't need another home run hitter, because I think we do have the home run hitters in the room.
Well, so let's say that people are looking at him almost like, if you're looking at tiers, some would say he's maybe a second tier receiver, right? So you're looking at all your number one guys that's in the league that are elite number one receivers. Do they put him in that category is maybe one of the questions. And so maybe they want somebody else. They want one of those, you know, number one tier guys, okay? So everybody got their rating, how they look at certain guys. I'll tell you this, for those guys and the number one tier guys, they cost a lot of money. And we see what they're doing right now. We see it up in Cincinnati. We see how everybody's getting signed everywhere else. So if we're looking at him as being a second tier wide receiver, which I think he's a number one wide receiver, no doubt about it, he's going to be a number one to whatever team he goes to, it bodes well for us. It does. And I like almost what Michael Donegan says. Hollywood gets 1,000 yards and willing to take $20 million a year, then resign him. No doubt about it. Shoot, even if he gets 1,000 yards, and let's say he's asking after this, maybe a little bit more, 22. You can look at that. You can still look at it. Because let's say that you bring in, I don't know who you're thinking about. Everybody's talking about DK Metcalf, right? We don't know if that's going to happen. So does that mean that DK is going to say, hey, look, I'm going to play all these years for that? He might want to sit out and say, look, I'm going to resign for 35. These other guys getting paid that type of money. Well, I wouldn't try to get that. So we just don't know. I think if he comes in, he's productive, that we should reward him. I think we should look at him for a long-term deal, especially if you're sitting there saying you're going to have him with Pat. Rashid Rice is on his second year. We're going to have Rashid for a number of years. We're going to have Xavier Worthy for a number of years. This offense is scary. With those three guys playing together, come on, man. And Travis Kelce with Pacheco, number one offense right there in the league. Come on.
What's the what would you say the ceiling is for Hollywood Brown, pending he's healthy all season? What's the ceiling for him?
Oh, man. Man, shoot, because we got to divvy the ball up. You know, sometimes that's what we do. So we're looking at, 85, 90 possibly? You can say that. Xavier Worthy, and I seen, what's the name of it, was asking about what type of offense will we run with him so he doesn't get any hips for Xavier Worthy. So what's kind of scheme with Andy Draw for Xavier so they take jarring hits? Unfortunately, this is football, so you're going to get some jarring hits. Xavier Worthy's done a good job as far as, like, keeping himself healthy. I think he knows what to do as far as, like, not to take jarring hits himself. Some of the routes that you would run back in the day where he wouldn't take a jarring hit was like this bang gate or quick post, some people call, where a guy's coming out of the break, 1, 2, 3, 8, and he's right here catching the football. Well, now the safety would come in, but now those hits, you can't necessarily do that anymore. You know, you got to watch yourself as far as a DB. But that would be kind of one of those hard hits that a guy would take. Xavier Worthy, I would say what we would do with him, quick slants, hitches, what we run, wide receiver screens, deep routes, take the top off the defense. That's what you run with Xavier Worthy. Let him get open, get in, find a window, find a hole, and then let him get busy. I think that's what Andy does best with his offense is he learns to get guys open in routes. So find space to get open. Shallow crosses, you know, when you run that little short route, about 5 yards, man, take it to the house. So our offense, I think we do a good job as far as keeping guys from getting hit right now. So that's the answer to that one. But
yeah, but bubble screens, and you have your receivers kind of building the wall so you can just go out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah. Bubble screen. Make sure your guys are blocking for him. That bubble screen boy can be.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you got to make sure.
Put him on a bubble with Wiley and Kelsey out there blocking for him. It's going to be so obvious to the defense what play is coming.
Yeah. So Donna makes a good point. Donna said Baltimore is a run the ball type of scheme. Arizona had the quarterback injured much of the time. He's going to be an amazing asset for the Chiefs. Hope this is his best season yet. Without a doubt, Donna, I agree with you 100%. And everything you said is absolutely true. And so I think the maturation process of where he was with the Ravens to where he is now, I think there was some humility he learned going out to Arizona. And I think he's changed his mindset. Like, look, you know what? I'm in a good offense now. I can appreciate where I'm doing, what I can do out on the football field. I don't have to necessarily be the guy all the time. I'm going to still try to be the guy. But if I'm not the guy, if I'm not the first receiver, then I'm not going to, you know, bust a gasket. I'm just going to go out here and still play. So I'm the Brown. 85 catches, 1,200, 1,300 yards in the air, 200, 300 from jet sweeps. Woo! Woo! I hear you, I'm the Brown.
I love that.
I'd love to see that. I think because of Xavier Worthy, then Rashid Rice, might eat into that somewhat a little bit. But I do see maybe 1,100 yards, 1,200. I could see that. 200 or 300 from Jet Sweeps. You know, maybe that's where you give the other guys a bet there.
I think Worthy would be more the Jet Sweep guy between the two.
Yeah, 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 for sure. I think he'll get a little bit more of that work, though, I'm the Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think it's going to be around 1,100 yards for him as long as he stays healthy. And we talked about this before, you know, the fact that he's coming into a team that had Greg Roman as offensive coordinator he's coming from a team that had Greg Roman as an offensive coordinator, and it was very limited offense, very run heavy, like Donna said. And also, too, the superior arm talent that Patrick Mahomes has versus Lamar Jackson. I'm not knocking Lamar Jackson's arm by any means, but mm-hmm. Mahomes is one of the more powerful arms in the league. And, you know, being able to, and he's talked about it at length already the last 2 weeks, it's like we can actually throw the deep ball again. And Hollywood was built for the deep ball. Mahomes was built to throw the deep ball. And Andy wants to throw that deep ball. We couldn't do it last year. And now we have a few guys who can do that, but Hollywood Brown being the top guy for that. So, yeah, it's a beautiful pairing on both accounts. And hopefully, like you said, hopefully it's one that can stick around for the next few years in a long-term deal when the season's over.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Got some good people in here, man. Don Peterson, welcome, Don. Good to see you, my brother. Demontel Green Beans, listen to the last tapes of Nas. Woo, okay, you banging tonight then. I see it, yeah, definitely banging. Nas, man, you can't go wrong with that.
Never.
Seth Flip 969, SA Flip, whatever. What's up, Marcus and Jason? What do you both think about our running back room? Are we set, or should Beach keep shopping to help open up our passing game and rotational purpose for Pop? So I think we're good. I like our room where it is. Pacheco, CH are two legit guys. We got some guys that's in the room right now, undrafted free agencies. Daenerys Prince is there. I think these guys are going to get a legit look to see what they can do, right? And so same guy, Goldilocks, I'm going to call him Goldilocks, all right? My man from UCLA, he can take some of those reps, okay? He can pass block. He can run hard. He can make somebody miss. He's a legit guy. Do we use our guy, LRZ, right? Marcus, huh? What do you think, Marcus? What do you think?
You're setting me up for this. He catches a swing pass out of the backfield last week in one of the videos they posted on the Chiefs Twitter account. Everyone's going nuts about it. I was like, come on. I mean, like, guys, again, this is very basic stuff with no pads, no hitting. It's a swing pass. I mean, come on. But yeah, I do think Carson Steele, there is some legitimacy to that as far as being a guy who, you know, can play the role of fullback. You can also put him back there as a tailback. So, I mean, I do think there is something there with Carson Steele. I do like the where you can put him in different slots on the offense. So, yeah, I like Carson Steele. Obviously, I like Pacheco, and I like CH if we utilize him in the passing game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, we got a little hater done showed up in here. LRZ looks uncomfortable securing the ball. Only time will tell. Now, look, I did see a couple of videos that he's still holding the ball like he does a rugby ball. Like, it's not no the 5 points on a football like you should hold it. He still got it, like carrying. Where's my? I got a football here somewhere. I should have a football. Well, he's holding it sort of like this, right? He's still holding it, kind of running this way, as opposed to getting it right there on the nose, securing it, tucking it right there in that where it's just not knocked out. And the thing is, when these pads come on, you hold it like that, like a rugby ball. Hey, sucker's gonna go off like fireworks. He'll learn. So I've seen that too. So he said he's seen it. Yeah. So I remember seeing the video. I'm like, they better correct that immediately, right now. And I think all it is reps. It's like, hey, you take this football home, you hold it like this all the time. Do you remember the program? You remember the program, Marcus?
Yeah.
Yep. So when Omar Epps was a running back, and he had to hold it because he was fumbling in practice, mm-hmm. and he had to sleep with the football. He had to go, yep. you know, and that's
all classes with it.
Yeah, I think it's what you have to do with LRZ. It's what you have to do. Yep. No, Marcus is not prejudiced, Wendy, against LRZ. I think what Marcus is doing, Marcus is withholding little optimism until he sees a little bit more. Am I right, Marcus? I don't want to speak for you, my brother, but
yeah, that's pretty much it. I just see too much of LRC's our third down backs. Like, no, he's not. Like, that's you're trying to make him. There's certain people we're trying to make him like to be this guy that he's not yet, and he could very well turn into
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
But right now, he's far from it. And quite frankly, we don't even know if he's far from it or not. We need to see him with pads on. And like you said, the way he's holding the ball right now, that may indicate some other things. And also, he's running a bit high as well, too. I mean, his pad level, he's running without pads right now, but like he's running a bit high as well. So if you are going to play him that running back role, it's a little bit high for that. So, I mean, there's a few things and there's many nuances. Yeah, he could be great. You know, he could be a great flag football player. Amazing. But as far as playing, it's an Olympic sport now, JD. You know, if it doesn't work out, he can go play on the Welsh flag football team in the Olympics.
I got you. I tell you what, you know, the thing is, he'll bode well for us because he didn't really take a roster spot. He could still learn. He's learning. It's a learning process. So it takes some time. He'll get it. When the pads come on and he's still running up high, he'll learn real quick. I guarantee it. And I tell you what, linebackers and everybody like, man, he's running too high. So how about we cut him down a little bit on this? So Don Peterson, the program. That's it. That's right. Yeah, that's it. Who will be our third down back? CH ain't it. CH is going to be there.
It's going to be the third down back. For the people who are saying LRC is going to be the third down back, you better be right for CH to be the third down back. That's he's going to be the guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So – Andre said, "Barber, it's not flag football.
Olympic sport. Now it's 2028. Telling you, if things don't happen for LRC, 2028 flag football team of the Welsh team. I can see him being that guy for them.
Yeah,
You can hold up. You can hold a ball any way you want to in flag football.
Oh yeah, Prince baby. Yeah, I like Prince. And Wendy, I know you were just messing with Marcus, but you know it's funny. You know, saying these things." But it's good. I do believe that he'll give something. He'll give something. He's got some time, man, to be able to see him until we get to training camp, for sure. But why not try him out? Why not put him out there to see what he can do? So I'm excited, man. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, he'll be one of those guys. It'll be interesting to see what happens in training camp with him, just to see him, like, kind of his growth, his progression. Because, I mean, this year is like a redshirt year for a lot of the international guys. It's a redshirt year for him. He's learning the sport. Can't really expect him to be a third out back like a lot of people think. So, all right, so we're going to go to so this is the other angle of looking at the offense. Everyone's talking about how good the offense looks. And even Trent McDuffie, all-pro DB, has talked about how locked in they are on the other side of the ball. So here's Trent McDuffie on the offense.
We're rolling, right, you know. Patently got some weapons. And, I mean, when I think about last year during this time, I think the defense was low-key, you know, getting after that offense. But we battling this year. And at least for me as a DB going against receivers, like, X when he comes back, and I mean Marquise Brown and Jay Watt and everybody like that, I feel like it's just going to sharpen my tools even more.
Now, JD, so talking about our offense, and it's kind of night and day to what it was last year. You kind of alluded to that a little bit, how they were getting after the offense last year, and now we have that vertical component now. I feel like we are kind of, especially for a guy like McDuffie, you know, going into year three, this is something he really hasn't seen yet, because he never saw the Tyreek Hill days of things. Now he's coming in to see this vertical threat of offense that we have. He's seeing a little bit different nuances on the offensive aspect. Now, going against our offense like that we're supposed to have this year, how much better do you think this will make the defense be prepared for this other element that these guys haven't seen before practicing against?
Well, I mean, it's faster. It's a faster offense. And so for them, seeing a vertical offense helps out, especially against guys that run man. Our scheme is man defensively. And so when you have fast guys, you want to learn to put your hands on those fast guys immediately. Snead did a great job, as we've seen against Tyreek Hill last year, putting his hands on the guys, keeping them from running vertical on you. And so these guys can only just get that type of work in, right? For a DB who's running man, this is what you do. This is perfect. This is perfect. So they'll get a lot of work, be able to get their, you know, hands on a guy, get your hat and hands around, how to be physical, how to turn your hips. All those different things that DBs need to work on. When you come up, slants and one of those things don't really matter to you. I mean, when you run man on that, I mean, you immediately are physical to a guy. So slants and hitches and all that, it's not really a big deal. The vertical game, we see them get beat. And I'll talk about a certain, like Jamar Chase. He was one that went vertical on us. You know, our guys got beat a couple of times on Jamar Chase's going vertical. We need to see things like that. Diggs going vertical. We need to see things like that. So when we think about our competition, the guys that we're going to look for, we know for a fact that teams are going to try to go vertical on our defense. So this is perfect for our guys to compete against. That's the way I look at it, man. I mean, Trent McDuffie is absolutely correct. That's what I look at, man.
Now, when you guys play, obviously everyone always rags on the defense that we had back when you played with the Chiefs. But you guys, I think our run D was a lot better than our pass defense was back then. In those early 2000 years when you played, and do you think that had a lot to do with playing against the premier O line, the premier rushing attack in the NFL had. Do you think that had a lot to do with that, being able to play against you guys and every day in practice?
I think so. A lot of teams didn't really see, you know, as far as like, we ran the two tight end offense. Running the football, we were dangerous. We can do that. We could stuff guys running, you know, the defense. Maybe I'm listening to my DBs. What I would hear from these guys is, some of the complex things they wanted to run with our defense just didn't fit with the guys that we had, put it that way. So I think that was part of the challenge, is because the complexity of what we wanted to do against the offense, you know, with the passing game, might have got us in trouble. I can remember certain games that guys just killed us. You know, Shannon Sharp was one. What was his name? Played for the Tennessee Titans. I think Bennett.
Drew Bennett.
Drew Bennett. This sucker had like 200-something yards against us. And we got him paid. So I think when you work against guys, it helps out. It does help out because guys can work on, you know, like I said, they can work on their craft on the other side. And what you need to do is you need to eliminate the holding, the pushing. Like, you need to call guys out. Call them jokers out if they're not doing it right. Like, hey, man, you can't hold in the game. They're going to throw the flag on you. And so, you know, keeping those guys, hold them accountable, but, you know, sharpening these guys up and their skill set, that's what you want to be able to do. That's how you had to do it, man. So
I'm going to interrupt this segment here. We have a special guest coming on here right now. And we got Mikaid Mataulier. I looked online to see how you pronounce it. Because I don't want to get it wrong. At first, I was going to say Mataulier, like the Joe Mauer, the old Minnesota Twins baseball player. But Mataulier is how I saw it on online. So we got Mikaid, newest Chiefs rookie guard, coming on our show right now. So I'm going to bring him in to the squad. What's going on, Mikaid?
Oh, hey, everybody.
Kay, what's up, brother? Listen, you doing okay?
Yeah, doing all right. We had a little NFLPA meeting tonight, but we got some good food. It was good stuff.
There you go. All right. So they fed you well. What'd y'all have? What'd y'all have to eat, man? Who catered for you all?
We went to Ocean's Prime. It was pretty good. Good steak and sea bass and all that kind of stuff, but we didn't have to pay for it, so that's good.
Right. It's always good, man. Look, Kay, man, I'm glad to have you, man, here on the show, brother. I know it was kind of last minute, but I wanted to have you on for a couple of weeks. Me and Marcus have been kind of talking about it. The caveman is a guy from Oklahoma. He's a friend of my, a good friend of mine that I play college ball with. He talks about just your character, but he also talks about your talent. One of the things we have been talking about was O-line here on the show. Okay. And so some of the questions is, how does O-line look for us for the Chiefs? You know, do we have it all under control? You know, who do we have between, Joe Tooney and, Creed, Trey and those guys? How does it look as far as the depth of what we have? Because we had a good guy in Allegretti who's in Washington right now. And so everybody's kind of looking to see what our depth looks like. And so we want you to kind of introduce yourself a little bit to everybody, what you have, what you bring to the table, what you did in Oklahoma and all those different things, brother. Go ahead. I'll let you talk a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. I went to Oklahoma for a couple of years. I started my college career at Cal in Berkeley. I started three seasons there at right and left guard. And then I went over to Oklahoma, played a little bit of center, some more right and left guard. I think overall I started 52 games straight, which is pretty good because, as O linemen, our ability is, people say our availability, and that is key in this position group, especially, at a position where you need to be pretty much a ball player, you need to be available at all times. That's important. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I'm from Houston. Grew up big football, had NFL players in the family, O linemen in particular. I've learned from the best. Had great coaching at Oklahoma from Beeden Bow, and I'm excited to bring it to the Chiefs organization.
That's good, man. That's good. I tell you what, when we talk about just kind of the history and the legacy that we've gotten from, obviously, guys from Oklahoma. And then you coming from Houston in itself, right? Football state, we understand what it's all about. I mean, it is without a doubt, it's a culture. It's a culture. You grew up down there with that. So you played with Wanye, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So Wanye is a guy that is kind of pushing to become the starting left tackle at this moment. His development of what we've seen in the past, like he got some games in last year and he did a tremendous job, absolutely tremendous job. Now you play right guard. Did you play left with him at all with Wanye?
At Oklahoma?
Yes.
When we were at OU, he played right tackle. I was with him for one season before he left. But yeah, I played left guard when he was there. But I mean, I practiced next to him and stuff. Yeah. I mean, great guy. You know, our friendship has carried over here. He's been able to mentor me, even though we're the same age, but he's more seasoned in, you know, the professional football arena. So he's able to help me out. And, you know, he's a fun loving guy. I don't know if you ever talked to him, but, you know, he loves to laugh and have a good time. And I think that's important in a game that tends to be, you know, super serious and sometimes too serious, you know, because it is a game at the end of the day, you know. So I think it's important to have fun in those things and someone that can keep it light. And that's, you know, the kind of guy that he is. And, you know, I love being able to be back with him. And, you know, I got to know Creed as well. We didn't play next to each other, but we crossed paths a bunch of times, you know, back in Norman, which is good. So I've had pretty good relationship with the guys before I got here. So it's good to reconnect with them and be back on the same team finally. So
did they give you any type of insight, man, to Heck and how he does things on there? Did any type of like, hey man, listen, don't piss this guy off. Like, you can't do this, you can't do that. Like, you got to have your stuff straight. But it was like something that they gave you, like a good nugget, right? That they might have, you know, just talked to you about. What do you think?
Yeah, just, you know, make sure we're doing the drills right and things like that. You know, a lot, the drills that we do compared to other places that I've been are very detailed, and they have a specific way of how they need to go. And if we, you know, if one piece isn't, you know, perfect, the whole drill kind of gets messed up. So it's important to listen to those kind of things. Coach Heck is a, you know, I love being coached by him. Just the short amount of time that I've been here, mm-hmm. He's very, you know, he says don't mistake his tone for message. You know, he can have a very stern message, but his tone is very calm. So I think it creates a good learning environment for us. And it's important. It kind of frees us up to ask questions and, you know, be the players that we were in college. You know, it frees us up to still build on the things. Instead of, you know, thinking, you know, you start at square one again and you're getting yelled at and all this stuff. That's not how it is over here. And I really enjoy it, you know, compared to other places that I've been. So it's been good. I can already see myself growing as a player. I didn't think that was, you know, possible at a point where I played so much football. But it is, you know, it's fun to see, you know, especially when you're knocking the rust off and not playing for 6 months, you know, and you're getting back into it. It's fun to see.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
New things and, you know, football is kind of is a drug in a way, you know, to a lot of us, especially guys that love football. So it's fun to, you know, have that sort of high again that you can only get from Jesus and football. So
I hear you, my brother. I hear you. I know you're a big brother of faith too, man. I am myself. And the good thing, just having that balance, especially having to deal with the NFL, especially with this type of pressure that you had to deal with also. I love what you said about Heck, you know, setting the environment, a learning environment, so you guys can actually, like you said, ask questions, get these things. One of the things you said is something I tried to explain before, is I don't think people realize how, like, when you come into the NFL, how much you will still learn, how much you're being refined as far as the details of things that you do, about how, like, positioning, timing, like, everything has to be on point. And in college, you can kind of get away with it, right? Because you're a talented guy, you know, you see guys, I say this all the time, like maybe some of the guys that you're going against are taking, rocket science, whatever it may be, okay? They're not even thinking about aspirations going into the NFL, right? And so those guys you can kind of dominate, but when you get up here, everybody's good. And it's like this, hey, man, if you're not right and you're not, you know, where you need to be, Chris Jones will kick your tail today. He will kick your teeth in. And so that will get you fired, right? That will get you fired. So if you don't have everything in order, then guess what? You will find yourself on a one-way ticket back to wherever you came from. But that's good. I'm glad that you kind of reiterated what I've told people is, like, you got to realize these guys come in to learn. We're talking about the best of the best, and so it's quick information. You got to retain it immediately. Okay.
Right.
And sometimes you only get a certain amount of reps, especially in team. So you got to do what you can in just those reps. Right. You got to be impressive. You can't mess it up. So speak about that a little bit as far as like, because you did talk about just kind of refining those things. How does that look, the difference between NFL and college, and like what you think the bigger difference is? Okay.
Obviously, the play calling is different. You know, there's no more one word plays that tell everybody what to do. You know, you get formations and you get told what everybody's going to be doing at, you know, in a specific, you know, play. And as offensive line, you have to be able to lock into your specific part of the entire, you know, paragraph of a play that's being called. So it's important to lock in, especially sometimes you can get tired and get distracted. And, you know, you go listen to your part, and maybe at the end there's a tag for, you know, a screen or whatever at the very end of the play call, and it's important to lock in and make sure you don't miss that, because your guys will be running a screen and you're running inside zone or whatever, you know what I mean?
So yeah,
it's important to know that. You know, another thing I think that's different maybe is I think you see in the NFL that you're a little more freed up to use your athleticism in a way. It's not all like as O linemen, like we're taught, you know, wide feet and toes out and all this stuff, or this, that, and the third. So now it seems more like you get taught the angles. It's not so much, you know, duck walking and all that stuff that you're taught until, you know, now it's running off the ball, you know, because you're not going to. You got to have every speed and angle advantage that you can to make a block in the NFL. It's not like you can just base up a guy and then it's over with. I mean, you'll get crushed into the hole if you're not using your angles and your leverage on the running back and things like that to your advantage. I mean, and that as offensive line, like, we know the play, we know the snap count. We have to make sure that we're tight on all those things to ensure that the play is going to go off the right way. Just learning a lot more about angles, you know, of plays and stuff like that is a lot different than college. So it's interesting.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's beautiful right there, man. You said it all. I think you're giving people a good insight into, you know, how everything runs. And so for y'all, and everybody's talking about your hair, said, you know, lineman with nice teeth. They could tell your disposition, man. You are definitely a good guy. You know, my brother Mike, like I said, we're brothers in Christ. And we talk about just how guys kind of carry themselves in a particular way in the locker room and just in life. Marcus, do you have any questions?
First of all, I want to say Coach Andy Heck, he went to my high school in Northern Virginia, and my sophomore year, he went to like regions, and it was like a big deal when Andy Heck sent like an email to our head coach, like wishing us luck in region playoffs. So that was pretty fun.
Oh, wow.
yeah. So I wanted to, you kind of mentioned the Oklahoma thing where, you know, Wanye, Creed Humphrey, and then even before we had Orlando Brown Jr. What is it about Oklahoma that has like prepared? Obviously, that we found something in Oklahoma offensive linemen that we're big fans of. What do you think that is that Oklahoma produces, like the O linemen that we're such big fans of? And I think, is it the the certain air raid concepts that Oklahoma has that like we try to implement with our offense and in those certain types of linemen who can kind of incorporate that within themselves. What is it? Do you think that the Chiefs are so adamant about Oklahoma guys?
Obviously this particular man that I will talk about comes with Oklahoma, but Oklahoma, it may not be so much Oklahoma guys. I think it, obviously we love the Oklahoma brand, you know what I mean? But it is the X factor of the way that we're taught is Bill Beanbo. I mean, you're never going to, I don't think you can get, you know, coached at the college level as hard and as technical as you will by that guy. And I think obviously, like you said, I believe that they found, you know, they found a place where they like to get offensive linemen, and that's Oklahoma. And that's, you know, because of the teachings that Coach B has, you know, brought to us. I mean, just the way that he studies film. I've had three different O-line coaches, and it's, you know, second to none. He's just the way that you watch film, the technique, you know, you're not going to get away with sloppy technique. You know, so what, you beat a guy, you know, it's no props. You know what I mean? No props just because you beat a guy. If you beat him with bad technique, you're still going to get chewed. I think that's what separates us as Oklahoma offensive lineman coach by him from every other place. And he always said, you know, since you guys made it through, you know, however many years of being coached by me, he says, your life, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be easier than if you were, you know, at some podunk school coached by, you know, every other Joe Schmo who thinks they know what they're talking about in the, at the college level, you know what I mean? So,
true.
Yeah, he definitely makes it, you know, opens your eyes to seeing the whole field and, you know, understanding football, you know. And it's not, you know, it's not a easy thing with him. It's tough. But only the tough are going to survive that way of coaching. And those are the guys who made it to the NFL, and those are the guys who are on the team, you know, with us right now. So I think that's, yeah, that's the X factor. That's why you guys like us.
Well, look, hey, look, preparation is key. And we understand, right, like you said, the hard teaching and coaching helps out. And we know this. Scouts know this. You know, the Andy and those guys, Brett Beach, those guys know that. And so, like I can tell just with your football IQ that you're a smart guy. First, you said you went to Cal to start with, right? So we already know that you're smart. Then you go to Oklahoma and get some real, you know, some real coaching up underneath
the belt.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. And so, you know, everybody's, you know, Sooners. I see everybody, you know, the Boomers and stuff like that. You know, I'm in Kentucky. You know, here's SEC, you know, that's how everybody lives this way. You know, I went to EKU, a smaller school, but, you know, for me, you know, when you talk about, you know, guys getting to the NFL, I've seen some guys from Kentucky starting to kind of make their way too. And it all starts with your coaching. And coaching is without a doubt so vital for guys to make the next level, to make the next jump, okay? To give you the knowledge, information that you need to survive, to make it, to give you, you know, the option. And so sometimes it's all it needs is just that, the foot in the door, right? And so, Cade, you got your foot in the door now, brother, okay? This is your opportunity. I want you to do everything that you possibly can with it, all right?
Yes, sir.
I want you to make this 53-man roster. I want you to be right there beside everybody. So when something that happens to go down, you know, Trey or Thorny, they throwing you right in the mix, and we seeing the good teeth and the long hair come out there swinging on the back of the, you know, the helmet. We already know it's like McKay, baby. We already know it's McKay coming in. So,
yes, sir.
So, Michael Donegan's asked you the question: McKay, favor his pass pro or your run blocker? Which one to you is your favorite, and which one is your strength? Okay.
Well, I think growing up, my favorite to do was pass pro, because that was the most fun to train, you know, because you have a lot of different pass pro tools that you can use by yourself or with your friends.
Yeah.
But as, you know, as you get older and more and as you become a ball player, you understand that the way that you break defenses down and break, you know, at the end of the day, there is a spiritual component. I mean, when you break, you don't break defenses down by pass blocking them and doing this all day. You know, it's running downhill, and then that's how you open up the pass blocking. So I would say it makes run. I want run blocking is my favorite because it, you know, it opens up our pass game.
Yeah.
Which is also my favorite. I love it all. I love football. I don't know what to tell you.
It's good. Good answer. Good answer. There's nothing wrong with that. Good answer, man. And the thing is, when you got to be physical at this level, and I've said this in the past that I've kind of gotten after our offense a little bit because I know Andy is kind of pass happy, loves throwing the football around. Okay, him and Nagy, and I'm one of those same sentiment as you. I'm like, look, we got to run the football to open up the pass. That's how it works. It always works this way, and so it's not the opposite. So when I seen linemen put your cleats in the ground, come out the ball, hit guys in the mouth, okay? Open up the running lane for Pacheco, okay? CEH, we're just talking about the running backs here. We don't know who the third guy is going to be. We know we got some talented guys, some, you know, undrafted free agents. You know, Daris Prince is another dude. But having that pride into going against a man on man, or even going getting to the second level, and your brother's right here in your hip, and you know you're moving up to the second level, right? And you springing that running back for, you know, 15, 20, 40 yards, whatever it is. That's a great feeling. That is such a great feeling, you know. And then you said like the warrior in you is the one-on-one blocking, the pass blocking, where you're sitting over like, man, I'm not gonna let anybody tackle my brother Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I'm not gonna let nobody touch him. So let me ask you this, man. Have you felt any, like, a little bit of starstruck somewhat with these guys coming in and OTAs and hearing these names and being on a Super Bowl team? How does it feel to you? So,
yeah, it's definitely pretty cool. It's really cool, actually.
Yeah.
No, it's really cool. But then you kind of got to lock back in and know, like, this is your job and these are your coworkers now. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, oh, there's Patrick and Travis and all them, which is really cool. Obviously, respect them, and I've been watching them forever. And now I'm on the team with them. I think it just happened so fast, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm on the Chiefs. Oh, and Patrick just walked in the door. Hi, I'm Patrick. I'm like, yeah, I know who you are, dude. You know what I mean? You know? So, yeah, just, you know, a little bit of, oh, wow, that's really cool. But at the same time, you have to
understand it's your job. That.
It's your job. You're here with them now.
You know what I mean?
On that, you know, somewhat, maybe not on the veteran level, but you're, you know, on the field with them now. So
that's right.
Not like getting your head, you know, is important, I believe.
Yeah. So somebody said, Charles Driver said, I'll be asking for autographs. Can't do that, man. He's like, look, hey, man, we're not asking for autographs here, right? It's a respect factor here. I respect you for everything that you've done. Now we're peers, right? We're peers. And so I think it's what the admiration and the respect of what they've been able to do on the football field. But you can see the humility and humbleness that a Patrick Mahomes has, or maybe a Travis Kelce. Those guys, how they carry themselves too. They don't seem too lofty to me. They don't seem like guys who are arrogant and won't talk to you at all. So
no, all the vets around here are very, very grounded and real nice guys. There doesn't seem.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
To be like, oh, like cool kids table feel or whatever. It's like, you know, we're all on the O-line and we're all, in this together, and everyone's helping each other, and you know, it's good, because I've heard where other places, you know, the vets are not as cool with the young guys, you know. So I'm blessed to be in this spot. I mean, I couldn't imagine a better room or coach or place to be at now. And it's been awesome. I don't have any complaints about anything. So
that's awesome, man. I'm happy for you. I am. I'm happy for you, brother. True. I hope this three-peat works, you know, work itself out. I think it will. I think what you talked about with everybody being grounded, that's the reason for success. I think everybody understands that it's a family atmosphere. And the Hunts do a great job out there. It's been that way since I played out there for 8 years. Right. It's always been that way. And guys, I think they understand it as soon as they get into the building. Like, if you've been other places, you could tell the difference. You know, I played in Philly. I know a lot of guys have played other places, and sure enough, it was guys would come in on their toes, chest out. And right. You know, you couldn't really talk to him. He's like, "Hey, dude, like, I'm right here beside you, you know, like, right. You know who you think you are." But I'm glad you said that. I want to ask you a couple questions, man. I don't want you to get into too deep into it, but I will ask you this: with all the things that's been happening during the offseason with the Chiefs, and I know you know about it, I'm sure. Have y'all addressed it? Has Andy addressed that? Like real quick, did he say anything about it and just kind of like, "Hey, we're going to move on, but we need to remain focused," you know? So, you know, like I said, you don't have to go into details, what was all said, but, you know, what do you think?
It's been addressed, and everything's all good over there.
Good. That's all I need to know. That's it. You need to go into it, brother.
Put my guy in the spot here.
Look, I don't want you. Look, that was the only question, you know, and I know it has been addressed. I know that. I had Andy when I was in Philly. I know Andy's going to say something about it. Any coach would, right? Any coach would. And so I'm sure that the message was very was loud and clear.
Yeah.
So I'll just say that. I'll just say that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
McKay, so I was when a couple weeks ago when JD said you're potentially going to be on the show, I did some research, and I watched like a couple like interviews that you gave. One of them was hilarious when you were at Cal and you'd ride past the frat houses with your F-150. I think you need to tell that story to people so they can see the humor behind you, the fun personality behind you. So can you kind of tell that story about what we used to do to wake up the frat boys at Cal?
Oh yeah. I'm not playing for the Rams, so. That's cool. You know, everyone thought like, oh, dude, you're gonna, you know, blackball yourself from the California team. So I'm like, well, I'm not in California. So yeah, you know, I'm a Texas guy. I have a F-150, and I had it in California with me, you know, with all the Priuses and stuff like that. And I was a little bitter, you know. I obviously wanted to play at like in Oklahoma, Texas, you know, A&M, you know. And I didn't get the opportunity out of high school, which is fine. But I was a little bitter that my best option was to go out there, which was fine. But it was just really different from where I grew up and the places that I, you know, like to hang out at and things. And so I did the only thing I knew how to show my frustration, I guess, at the time as an 18-year-old kid was – drive my truck around, because we had 7 a.m. workouts. I just drove my truck around the frat row. It's right outside the stadium. And we just, you know, it's like 7 in the morning. I just freaking hog it. You know, it's a big old train horn. It would wake up the whole team, you know what I mean? So I would just. I used to do that. I, you know, just get some of the bitterness out, I guess. Wake them up. Because, I mean, that they hated us. Frat guys out there did not like us. They hated football players, you know, because all the ones out there they're all nerds in high school, and now they're in frats, and so they think they're cool now.
Nah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's how it is with those frat guys, man. That's generally how they are.
Well, yeah, I mean, and not so much in Oklahoma, but at Cal, it was like the Oklahoma. They're like, oh, yeah, man, come on in, you know. You know, like, we want y'all, you know, makes us look cooler. You know, over there, they're like, no, you get out. You know, we used to sneak into the, I mean, obviously we wanted to go, you know, meet girls and stuff. So, and that's where they were at. Mm-hmm. So we used to like sneak through the basements. We'd open the windows, sneak through the basements, and then we'd pop up in there and then do a little partying. So,
yeah, something about those types of schools, like the Cals in the world. I remember I was talking to this girl who went to Georgetown, and Georgetown, very much like Cal, like, you know, kind of an elitist, kind of a little snobby, you know, a little pretentious.
So it's an elitist, yeah.
And I remember going to a frat party with this girl, and immediately they knew that I was not a Georgetown student. You know, I was like, oh, you're from Northern Virginia. You're like, you're not D.C. Get out of here. You don't belong here. And I felt, I was like, yeah, we got to go. Let's go to a bar down the street or something like that. I don't want to be in this, this environment.
It was definitely a little different. You know, I mean, it was the only frat party I've ever been to where they had wine at the at the like little wooden bar that the pledges built. And I was like, you guys are drinking wine over here? What are we doing?
Yeah, they have a wonderful Bordeaux, you know, Chardonnay, you know.
I'm like, what are we playing? We're throwing ping pong balls in a wine bottle? Like, what are we doing? I had a great time out there. It was an interesting experience, but I had a great time. You know, it feels like I've been in most of the places of the country that I need to go. People aspire to go to the, you know, LA and things like that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to move here. And I'm like, I've been there. You know, maybe there was a small part of me that wanted to go see what that was about. I saw it. Sure. I'm done.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say in the same interview that I think it was the same interview. I watched a ton of stuff on you. My favorite was obviously, you know, you helping out your buddy in that West Virginia game. You got ejected for, you know, that when they nailed the dude in the end zone, you got ejected for kind of like, you know, well, after the play, a little love. Yeah,
extracurriculars.
Yeah, it's all right. Which I love. It shows you're backing up your boy. But one thing I saw is you worked out with Lane Johnson, and obviously everyone knows Lane Johnson, one of the best right tackles of all time. What did you learn? How much did he prepare you for the next level? So obviously, it's only a few months into your professional career, but how much did he prepare you for the next level of what, you know, the mental stuff, you know, the on the field stuff? How much did he prepare you?
Yeah, I had a great time with Lane. I've been able to, again, I've crossed paths with him multiple times because the Oklahoma connection, he was around. He'd come train us every now and then. He just taught me, you know, the professionalism of the game. It's not, you know, it's not the college where you're all in a group and they're forcing you to do all this stuff and they're just beating you down and making you run bleachers and this and that. It turns into a craft once you become a professional, you know. Like, it's how you take care of your body. You don't need to be loading your back up on a squat bar. You don't need to be, you know what I'm saying? There's other mm-hmm. things that you can do that are more beneficial to the longevity of your career and the performance of your body. And it's not, you know, everyone thinks you got to, you know, lift a certain amount of weight or bench or whatever. And at the end of the day, the weight room helps your durability. But I think a lot of the accessory lifts and movements and flexibility and things like that is where you increase your performance. And that's what he taught me. I mean, we weren't running sprints or hills or whatever. We'd put on our hiking shoes, put on a 60-pound vest and go walk 4 miles around the lake, you know, and it resets your, you know, the theory behind that is it resets your spine and your body corrects itself because of that weight that's on there, you know, things like that. Or like sled drags, you know, it was a lot of like posterior chain and you know, single leg movements and things like that that were, you know, beneficial, but they weren't going to tear your body down, which I think is important when you get to that level. So that's good.
Absolutely. That's what guys they need to understand, that learn that as soon as possible, you know, what it takes to have a long career. That's wonderful. That's good advice, man, with Lane. But Lane, you know, he's one of the best tackles in the league. There's a reason.
Right.
Yeah. So now it is about durability. It's all about taking care of your body, you know. And so, like you said, if you're blessed not to get injury and, you know, be able to stay in the league, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, man. And so, you know, K, man, I tell you what, man, I appreciate it. Now, everybody on here is, you know, is appreciating you for coming on here, just taking the time I know you had the NFLPA meeting and whatnot, and sometimes those things can be pretty long, but you know, they're good too. They're good to have some good information with that as well.
Good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Let me see. So Lewis Cutberth says, playing for KC, the loudest stadium in the league, the greatest fans of all time, will cheer you no matter what. So part of the family, brother. Part of the Chiefs kingdom. Yeah, part of the Chiefs kingdom. Yeah. So you got a lot of people right here, man, pulling for you. So this, our community, Chief Concerns, man. So everybody, you know, coming out is giving y'all their well wishes, man, and blessings and stuff like that. That you're gonna have a, you know, first off, just a good time out in Kansas City. They said go get some good barbecue. They wonder if you have some good barbecue yet since being out here.
Not yet.
Okay. You had to come back and tell us about what you think, how barbecue in Kansas City differs from Texas, and that's always like that. You know, it's always that competition. All right. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go find. There's one over here, but I think it's a chain. I need to go to like, I think it's like a Jack Stack or something else over here that I need to go to. By the time I'm back on here, we'll have that conversation.
Okay, sounds good, my brother. The Q39 is good to me.
That one too.
Yeah, there's some ones, but I'm one of those. I'm more particular to like the smaller ones, more personable, you know, like you look at a small shack, you're like, man, there's no way they're barbecuing at this place, right?
Yeah, I want to go to like a tent that's got a, you know, like a little offset thing going on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm right there with you.
I think Q39 made the Yelp's like top 100 barbecue places in the United States.
Yeah, I heard it's great. I heard the carrot cake there is supposed to be super good too.
So. Carrot cake, I like that. KC Joe's at the gas station is a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, KC Joe's. Mm-hmm.
Might go there this weekend.
All right. Okay.
Going to a Royals game on Saturday. Getting immersed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, man. Hey, man. Hey, look, immerse yourself there, man. In Kansas City, it's a great city to be in. You know, with all the wins and stuff, man, they'll take care of you, as you know right now. And you got some boys around you who obviously play with you and are friends with you. But you see, it's just a family atmosphere. That you'll have a great time out there, man. And I know you have a great time right now. So, yes, yeah. McKay, brother, listen, I appreciate everything that you've been able to do. Like I said, man, be blessed in this opportunity. Okay, and so when I get out that way, I'm gonna holler at you. I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna come see you when I get out on the field for sure.
Let me know.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it, man. But I think everybody, man, in here is like I said, happy that you're here, man. It's good to know that the Chiefs are in good hands, that we got a good guy on yourself that loves football, that loves playing, that's in the building too. So, right. Marcus, you got anything?
Nah, man, he's covered all the bases, man. Talk about frat houses and Cal. I'm good. I'm good.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, man. We'd love to have you back at some point, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hop on whatever. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything you want to say to the fans before you leave? You know, just real quick.
Yeah, you know, thanks for all the well wishes. I'm excited. Just know that I'm you know, I've made a career out of myself, you know, by trying hard and, you know, being a hard-nosed football player. And that's, you know, what I can hope to continue to do out here. And I believe, you know, it'll help build on what's already, you know, happening out here. So I'm excited. Thanks for all the wishes. And I'll be back here. We can talk some more once we got training camp and all that stuff going on. So we'll have more to talk about. Don't worry.
Good deal, my brother. Listen, man, stay blessed, man. I'll see you. Take care, McKay. All right, we'll talk to you.
See you, buddy.
All right. Awesome.
Fantastic. That was great. That was great. Yeah. I didn't know if he was going to hop on today. I didn't want to advertise it, him not come on tonight. So that was great. He hopped in there. It was nice.
Yeah, man. I know they've been hard at it, you know, as far as like now with his OTAs, man, there's like just – meetings and you know over and over again, and it's like you got a full day But the veterans, they've been through a...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Before, so they know how to kind of, you know, manage these things. With the rookies and young guys, meeting after meeting, you got to come in, film, all of those different things. Everything's getting thrown at you. I'm sure he's right now ready to relax. He's probably going over the playbook, you know. So he told you how different it is. Where, and this is what I hate about college, where they've taken like some of the thinking out for the guys, is they tell you one thing and everybody knows what to do, and you don't really have to think too much. You get to the NFL, man, that could be to your detriment. That could get you cut.
No doubt.
But you're not used to learning certain things. Like, hey, man, they just told me like one thing to do when everybody knew what to do. It was like, well, it's not here. You know, there's going to be twists. There's going to be different things you have to know game wise. And there's, you know, schemes schematically, it's going to be different. And so I'm glad he came on to talk about that a little bit. Yeah. I wasn't really trying to put him on the spot, man. Ask about it. I just wanted to make sure he addressed it. I seen he's like, oh, man, JD, like, where you at? I'm like, I didn't know he got it. So,
well, you gave me yes or no. I mean, obviously, you played the NFL, you played under Andy, you know, he did talk about it. You just want to make, you were just asking, did he address it? Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Right, right.
But you could tell he was nervous about answering that question.
Yeah, I didn't want to put it, I won't go hurt him, though.
Well, one thing that's interesting about him, for all those guys, you know, whoever who, you know, may have heard about him for the first time tonight, the crazy thing about him is prior to joining the Sooners in 2022, Matsuyir spent three seasons at the University of Cal from 2019 through 2021, playing primarily right guard. In total, his whole college career, he did not allow a single sack over his last 1,458 pass blocking snaps in college. So his 12 starts at right guard in 2023, did not yield a sack across 464 pass blocking snaps at right guard. So, yeah. And also at left guard the season prior, he didn't allow a single sack either. So, he's legit. I mean,
legit, man.
Like we talked about, we love Oklahoma guys for a reason. And yeah. I mean, whoever that Oklahoma O-line coach is, they need to go snag that guy, the guy he was talking about.
Dude, I'm telling you what, and it helps. It helps that you play with somebody else that you're beside, right? With Wanye.
That too.
What that does to your confidence, I can't state it enough, really. It's like, man, your boy's right there with you. You know, you've seen him, you know, make this transition. Same thing, Creed, right? Shoot, you got Hollywood Brown. You got guys out here who's all been like Oklahoma program. They know their culture. They know what those things mean. And so that having sometime like that fraternity, we're talking about frats now, of Oklahoma, man, is a huge, huge advantage, I think. So,
yeah. SA Flip, is this better? Is my mic better now? Apparently my mic was low. But yeah, hopefully my mic's fine. But JD, 100%. And I think that, and also you talked about it when you came in the league, when Philadelphia, they brought in one of the guys from EKU, and they made the transition easier for you. And just having somebody that you know, you're not just the new kid in class. Like, at least you have a friend that's there, you know, so that definitely helps the transition for a young rookie.
Man, I mean, having somebody familiar, you know, somebody you laugh before, you know, and just like you said, just building, going through it. Like, you're all going through it at the same time all together. Man, that was a tremendous, tremendous advantage. So.
Yes, sir. I want to get through two things before we head out. I know we're already at hour and 20, JD. Just quick ones. So we mentioned the special teams aspect. So Andy Reid, with the new kickoff rules, he had hinted at a new kicker at a kickoff. Not, I know everyone, the Bucker's a big name, right? Everyone's talking about Harrison Bucker, but potentially his role could be kind of reduced to being just the kicking field goals. So this is Andy Reid on potential of a new person with kickoffs.
Maybe an advantage here to have a guy like Justin with kickoffs as being an extra tackler.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. Once you get through that first wall, there's not a whole lot past that other than that guy. So
JD, you were a special teams coach. Obviously, it was only a little small soundbite on it, but it seems like they are kind of thinking about it, potentially putting Justin Reid back there as a guy who can maybe make the tackle out there, especially if we are going to kind of engage in. You know, you're not kicking it in touchbacks anymore. You're kicking it, you know, kind of more hang time on those things. And mm-hmm. You can have an element of your kicker being able there to make the last line of defense. What do you make of Andy Reid kind of contemplating this Justin Reid being our kickoff guy?
Oh, no. Just hearing about it. I think it's different. I've never really thought about that scenario in itself, but it would help if there's being a lot of returns or touchdowns and whatnot, makes a lot of sense. So he would be somebody as an option for sure. Just to make sure nothing like that happens. Right. So yeah, he says, yeah, we thought about it. I think it's a thought. But I think with your coverage, it should still be good enough to make the tackles. And even if Justin Reid's back there, the wall. So when you set it up, you still got athletic guys that can still go block Justin Reid. So I don't know. We'll have to see. We'll have to see as far as like what the returns look like. And I don't know. I haven't looked at any of like how everything shakes out from the other leagues. If there's been a whole lot of returns for touchdowns, I'm not sure. So I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe Zammit is another guy. Possibly. You know, you could look at. Yeah.
I don't really know the difference between kicking off a tee versus kicking a rugby ball. It seems like it's more of a punt, right? Because you're just drop kicking it.
Yeah, I think so.
See, now this is where we get to talking about his game, where I'm like, I have no idea.
No. I'm sure he could do it.
For sure.
So, I don't know. Maybe Andy was just looking at it like, that's a potential thing. You know, so like I said, I don't know how, if there was a whole lot of touchdowns based off of like that new rule. So
I do like that. The fact they're even like contemplating this. It tells you that they're being really creative with this whole thing, and like maybe we can use it to our advantage. Being able to use a guy who's a safety, not every team has a safety who can kick, and Justin Reid's done it in the game before, so it's like we have seen him do it in the game before. Now we can do it as far as, you know, if we are going to try to, you know, not kick it throughout the end zone, we can kick it and have another guy who can go tackle.
So I'll say this. Justin Reid's going to get a lot of work on defense. Him coming from defense, you know, and going to kick and covering, kicking the ball. First, I don't want him breaking his toe or anything. I know he knows how to do it. But, you know, I don't want him the potential for injury, something like that happens as you're starting safety, right? I'm like this. You make sure that your kicker is taking on tackling responsibilities. You put his tail out there for some drills, tackling drills, okay? Angles and making sure that you're marrying guys. You start working on this as a kicker, okay? So it ain't you just coming on the field in the front part, kicking in with special teams, and you're out of here. You are staying in here for this, and you're doing some defensive drills as well. So get your guys ready. I would rather not use Justin Reid. This is me, okay? Unless it's absolutely necessary. So let me just say it there. And that's why my hesitancy was like, look, man, look, Justin Reid's our starting safety. Yeah. Let him be the starting safety, man. Okay? So.
I mean, he's been begging to get more kicking opportunities. This could be his time to shine, JD.
I get it, man. Shoot, you expensive to be out there kicking balls, you know, running down on kickoff. Yeah. When we paying somebody to do that. Get them together. So
can you move when the guy kicks or is when the ball lands? It's when the ball there's no movement until the ball lands, but when the guy catches it, that's when it comes. So they're trying to make kickoff return more of a thing again. So I get the logic behind it, but yeah, JD, you bring up a great point. He's a starting safety. God forbid something happens on a kickoff where you know you have Butker who can do it, man. You know, I'm sure he grew up in college where he wasn't kicking it out the end zone, so he was definitely having to go down there to make tackles. So yeah,
yeah, man. Get them guys together. Sure,
like a new thing.
Yeah, we pay you to do this. So,
true. So our final. Our final thing here is Rashee Rice. Now, this is something I really want to address just because, you know, he's been in the news all offseason for the wrong reasons, but he was recently in the news for a good reason as he was giving back to his community. Rice was videoed giving out water and pizza to people in Dallas. And me personally, you guys can agree to this, I feel that sometimes Chiefs content creators, the media in general, they only cover the negatives when it comes to guys, especially when a guy's had a whole off season where it's been a lot of drama. And I wanted to take the time here to kind of show the good stuff that our players do. And for the majority, JD, you know, you were in locker rooms, majority of guys are doing good things in their communities and in the Kansas City community and whatever community they live in or play in. And Rashee Rice, I wanted to take a moment to kind of highlight what he's doing in his Dallas community. I have a video here. I don't have copyright to the music behind it, so I stripped the audio. But this is the video of Rashee Rice handing out pizza and water in Dallas. So there he is. I feel like, you know, got a lot of negative press this off season, and you know, seeing him, you know, going out and doing stuff in his community, beautiful. So JD, thoughts on Rashee Rice making an impact in his community?
That's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know why anybody would be opposed to it. I think somebody has said that just because of reputation, this is the reason he's doing it. It's a PR stunt. Listen, if a guy understands that he needs to repair his character, his brand, what he represents, him doing good things because he understands the privilege of what could potentially be taken away from him, I have no problem against it. I think it's genuine. I think there's a heartfelt change in what he's doing. And he might have been doing this before. I don't know. There's a lot of guys that you're right. There's a lot of guys that do help out the community. I think Rashee Rice might have been doing something like this before. I'm sure if he needed to give something to someone, I'm sure he'd give a dollar or five, whatever he was able to give. That's why I can't sit there and say because of something he did bad constitute everything of his character. I don't believe that is a full representative of who he is, right? And we all have layers to ourselves. So I'm glad that he's doing something like this because there is more to him as opposed to all the bad things people want to talk about Rashee Rice. So that's what I would say. So I'm going to give him the grace that's deserved. I will encourage him to continue to do things like this. Because he is more fortunate than a lot of other people. And so sometimes acts of kindness changes a person. And there should be more of it. It should really be more of it. So I'm not going to disrespect the man for doing something good for people. And I can't sit there and just like, oh man, he's just doing it to try to, you know, repair his image. Well, yeah, he should. He should be doing this. He should be out here giving out pizzas, feeding the homeless, the needy, kissing babies, talking to the young people, letting them know, talking to some college guys, like, look, I made a mistake. This is what I want to do. And sometimes it's making amends. This is what this is. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I agree with that. I encourage that. And sometimes people need to talk to him. I think he's realizing himself, like, look, you know, maybe I just took this for granted. Okay. And maybe he has a different outlook on life. Okay. When we have these experiences in our lives, some these things change us. Sometimes for the better. Hopefully it's changing for the better. This right here is an indication it's changing for the better. I don't think it's just a PR stunt. I think it's something really was in his heart he wanted to do, and he did it. Beautiful. That beautiful, right? I'm applauding for that. He's commended for what he's doing right now. So I don't have anything wrong with it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, man. So keep doing it, Rasheed. Keep doing it.
It's a damn if you do, damn if you don't kind of thing. I feel like professional athletes in the spotlight, it's a damn if you do, damn if you don't. Because if he doesn't do that, it's like, oh, what is he doing for his community? Like, you know, he just bad things. He just gets into fights at nightclubs and races cars on the highway. And if he does do it, it's like, oh, well, of course he had to do it because he wants to make himself look good. Like, what? I mean, like, so there really is no win here. He either doesn't or he does. And it's like, you're still going to call him out regardless. And I'm happy. We've been doing updates on Rasheed Rice's situation all throughout this offseason. There wasn't an update on any of his legal situations, no update on the suspensions and stuff. But this did come out this week. And I wanted to make sure this was, we talked about this and highlighted the good stuff that our players do and then many players around the league do. And I wanted to make sure we highlighted that on the show this week.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did, you know, because I do believe it's genuine. So he's invested in himself. Like Lacey said, acts of kindness feeds your soul. He's investing in his soul right here. Okay. And acts of kindness kind of opens you up for empathy for others. But also too, it helps you feel good. Maybe getting something back as part of the humility that I'm sure he's feeling. And so if this is something for him to, like I said, make amends, a repentance or penance or whatever you want to do, this is perfect. This is perfect for him. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And I don't think we should just be over there, using disparaging marks because of something he did wrong. I don't agree with that whatsoever. So like I said before, I encourage him to continue to do those things. So
100%. Yeah.
Matter of fact, we should all do those things. If you can go and help people out in the community of the needy, by all means, please do it. Okay? Please do it. So.
Amen. I agree, JD. So, honestly, it was a great episode, action-packed. We had guests coming on here. We were talking about our explosive offense coming this fall. A lot of good stuff going on, Chiefs Kingdom, guys. We want to thank everyone who's involved in the chat. I think we got up to 100 and something people in the chat tonight at one point. It was awesome having everyone on here and having McCade coming on here and being put on the spot by JD.
he did a good job. He handled that professionally. They're putting on football camps too. Andrea, appreciate it. Love to you also, Andrea. But y'all, you know, everybody, look, we enjoy these times to be able to talk to you guys. We appreciate you so much coming in, come seeing us. 100 something people. I can't see how many people's in here, Marcus, not at all. I just see people who was on the chat. That's all I can see. So I don't even know. But whoever it is that you came to come see us, we love you. Even the guy that came in hating, we love you too. Okay? We love you too. And so he was able to engage with us. That's fine. But I just want to give everybody, look, thank you, Donna, Wiz, Michael, Don again, Stu, my man. Get better, my brother. Love you. Lewis, Kathy, Wendy, Mel Matrix, Charles Driver, Rob Miller, good seeing you. S.A. Flip, 969, Lacey Snake, who else we got? Man, I'm the Brown, about time. I seen my man come in. I ain't seen him in a while. Lewis Cutbirth, Terry Custer. I'm trying to run through. Gary Holland, good seeing you all. John Clifford, good seeing you, man. I know you was, I think you was on the flight now last time. Good seeing you. I ain't seen you in a while. Trying to think who else. Oh, Del Monte Green Beans, my brother. Good seeing you as well. So everybody, if I miss you, you know I love you. If I didn't get to see you and say your name, hey, guess what? You know, we got all love from JD, pure and simple, all right? Y'all take care, man. Y'all have a good weekend. Marcus, go ahead, brother.
Love you, brother. Yeah, and I want to give a shout out to Wiz LB. Shout out from Sydney, Australia. We got a person from Australia
on
the stream tonight. There you go.
Australia. Oh, Wiz, good seeing you, man. Glad to have you on here. Glad to have you on here. So, listen, y'all take care. Marcus, my brother, I love you. All y'all out here in the Chiefs concerned community, loving each and every one of you guys, okay, and gals. Okay, y'all take care. Have a good weekend. Be safe. Be awesome. God bless you all. Okay. Y'all take care.
Love you, everybody.
Love you. Love you too,
guys.
Brother.
We'll see you guys Monday unless something breaking happens this past weekend because we got June 1st coming up here. So it might be maybe a little trade or pickup. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll see you guys Monday. Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. All right. Y'all be good.
See everybody.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.